Good morning. It is the 14th day of January, and traditionally, people write New Year's resolutions. I had a New Year's resolution to do 100 push-ups every day, and I figure I'm young, I'm fairly fit, it shouldn't be too bad. On January 1st, I did about 20 push-ups, and then I gave up. I said, this is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe if you chose a New Year's resolution that is a little bit easier, or that you were just a little bit more dedicated to, you might have succeeded all the way up to this point. You know, maybe if you chose a diet, you know, to take out chocolate out of your diet or to add more vegetables, maybe you bought a bunch of groceries and you haven't run out of those groceries yet, so you've kept your New Year's resolution. Maybe you've even asked someone near you, hey, I'm trying to do this. I want to keep my weight down. I want to do a diet. Will you help me? And they've been able to say, yeah, of course, I would love to help you. And you know, hopefully they've encouraged you in it. And if they see you starting to waver, they see you grab a chocolate that you're not supposed to grab, they say, hey, you were supposed to be taking a diet. What's wrong with you? And maybe you've been able to listen. Maybe you haven't, though. Maybe you've said, yeah, but I gave up on that. I don't want to do that anymore. It's not fun. Because often, change isn't that fun. And especially if it's change that's for the better, I think sometimes that can be less fun. Because bad things are sometimes good, like fun. Not good, obviously, because they're bad. But, you know, chocolate is good. It's tasty. And not doing push-ups is fun, because doing push-ups hurts. This last Friday was Quitters Friday. It's the day that a lot of people would have quit their New Year's resolutions. Chances are if you've quit your New Year's resolution today or by today, you won't keep doing it. You know, they say that on average you need 21 days of doing something for it to become a habit, and when it's a habit, it's harder to quit. But Jesus asks us to change ourselves and not change just for 14 days, but to change for our whole lives. So that's what I want to talk about in our passage today, which is starting at John 4, chapter 1. I'll pray for us, and then I'll read the passage. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we can spend together in worship over you. Please bless this message, that it can touch your people's hearts, that any good words I speak, they would know that they're from you, and that they would develop change in all of your people's hearts. In your name we pray, amen. So I'll be reading John 4, starting from verse 1 and ending at verse 45. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, What do you seek? Or, Why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. This is the word of God. Amen. So we see Jesus have this intimate interaction with a woman he's never met, and another interaction with the disciples, people he's been with for a time now. We see Jesus come to Jacob's well, and he's tired. It's about noon. It's hot in that area of the world, and a woman comes in the middle of the day while it's hottest, while no one else is there to draw water. She is an outcast from society, and she knows it. Everyone knows it. And Jesus decides to talk to her. And Jesus is a Jew, and he doesn't even talk to normal Samaritans. Well, Jews don't. And the first thing he tells her is, what you are doing is wrong. Try doing something different. And he says, give me a drink. What are you doing? Why didn't you offer me water? And she says, well, I didn't know I was allowed to talk to you. And he says, well, actually, you were supposed to be asking me for water. Jesus demands change from her, from the very first moment he sees her. He demands not only that she would ask him for water, but that she would go and call her husband. He says this knowing full well that she doesn't have a husband. And he demands to her that she would worship in spirit and in truth, that she would love God, that she would stop doing the things that she's doing that are wrong. Jesus then, and she's very gracious in this, I think. She's very accepting that a random man would tell her, stop doing what you're doing. And, part of that, of course, is he's able to say, you've had five husbands, and now you have someone who's not your husband. In her words, he tells her everything she ever did. And she decides that she needs to go change. She decides that she's not only going to make her New Year's resolution, she's going to go tell everyone in the whole town about it. That they might make the same New Year's resolution, that they might change too, and that they might help her in her change. Then, of course, the disciples come back, and Jesus tells them, that they need to change. He says, they tell him to eat, and he says, no, don't tell me to eat. I have different food. And then he tells them to sow, or to reap what others have sown. He tells them that they have work to do. Jesus is leading them in this change, and of course, his disciples are already his disciples. They're already following him, so they're ready to take this change. They're ready to be led by Jesus in change. All change. No, that's not the beginning of my sentence. This change is a personal change for all of these people. It's personal change led by Jesus. Jesus demands personal change from each of these people, that the lady, the Samaritan woman, would change her ways, that she would not be with a man that is not her husband, that from this moment on she would take only one husband. He demands not that she would worship at the mountain or that she would worship in Jerusalem, but that she would worship in spirit and in truth. He demands real worship for God as a personal change for her. And a part of this personal change is being able to worship with other people. Part of this personal change is having accountability from others. It's personal change that works best with other people. Any sort of change in our lives will work best when we have other people helping us. That's why traditionally in the church we've had, well, not us, but in the Catholic Church they have confessional, so that the priest may help you with your change, will help you leave your life of sin and turn to God. It's personal change that happens with other people. But there's also communal change, that the whole city, that the whole community that you're in can change with you. The Samaritan woman has this personal change in her, and she knows she needs other people with her, and she leaves her water jar and runs to the city to gather everyone. And at first, they believe her a little bit. They say, well, of course, if this guy can tell you everything you ever did, maybe he is a good prophet. And they ask him to stay. They ask him to stay for 2 days. Well, they ask him to stay there. And then he does stay for 2 days. And Jesus helps them all undergo similar personal change. Of course, we don't know the details of all these people. We don't know how their lives were. But we do know that they asked Jesus to stay with them, and he did. That they asked Jesus to lead them in change, and he decided to lead them. You know, led by the Spirit, he led them. And then it was a communal change where everyone in the whole city wanted the same goals. They all wanted to worship God. They all wanted Jesus to stay. They all wanted to learn from him. And this personal change begat communal change. Similarly with the disciples, we see the disciples asking him, "Rabbi, eat," and that he leads them in change, saying, "No, we have different food. We don't always have to be eating normal bread and meat. Our food can be to serve God, to serve him who sent us, and to accomplish his work." He tells them, "I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." He tells them, "You will now harvest what I have started, what other people have started." And they are able to undergo this communal change as a group of disciples, as a group of Jesus' followers, to carry out God's will. They work hard for this communal change, and they are able to do it because it is Jesus-led change. So I would adjure you that if there is change you need in your life, you may know it or you may not. If you know it, then I suggest that you reach out to someone who's close to you, ask them to help you with it. Develop accountability with someone that you trust and ask them to help you in this change. If you believe that it's led by Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, you know, change yourself and become closer to God. If you don't see change that needs to be done in your life, then ask someone that's close to you what change they see. Because everyone needs to change to be closer to God. Everyone needs to be led by Jesus, personally and communally. Amen. You can stand for the benediction.